Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I've got these pens. And Jimmy Breslin says, hey, kid, you got a pen? And I give him one of my felt-tip pens. And he looks at me and goes, what's this? And then he uses a word that I can't use on this particular quality podcast. And I go, it's a felt-tip pen. And he goes, yeah, you'll never go anywhere in this business if you don't use a Bic. Anybody got a Bic? Somebody hands Jimmy Breslin a Bic pen.
Go.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, plausibly live and from an as yet, soon to be though, disclosed location, but not yet. Third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Tori Clark and David Aldridge and Michael Kornheiser and Nigel. We'll do the news and run the board, and Pat Forty will join us in a little while. We'll have trivia a little bit later. Before we get into the actual show, Nigel wants to talk about Hank Azaria, who was such a good guest on this show.
Oh, yes.
And whose show Brockmire is debuting soon.
Yes, the first week in April on IFC. I want to say maybe the 5th. I think it's April 5th it premieres, which is that Wednesday.
We are fans of Hank Azaria.
Love Hank Azaria.
And we think Brockmire is probably good. But Brockmire strikes me, and I hope it's not quite as coarse as the first season of Eastbound and Down.
It's
which,
close.
Which I liked. I liked, but yes. Which I said, whoa. Because Danny McBride, he'll do yes. It in front of the horses and scare everybody.
I will say that the meltdown scene in the first episode of Brockmire is just fantastic, as he discovers that his wife is not quite as faithful
right.
as he wishes she were, and he proceeds to talk about it in the course of a play-by-play of a baseball game, which leads to him going down to the minors to try and resurrect his career. So they're having a premiere event up in New York, like a red carpet, you know, special.
Should be great.
Special seating. He will be there. Amanda Peet, who is a co-star of the show, will be there. And I know he'd invited you, but your schedule doesn't allow you to be up there.
I don't go anywhere.
Your grin is small.
I don't leave
New York,
the grin.
On the train.
Yeah, I'm going to New York next weekend, so I can't.
So he said, well Nigel, if you would like to come up, we'd love to see you.
How about that?
So you should do it.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, but I wouldn't get back until about 2 a.m. on tomorrow
so
night.
So what? Well,
how's that different than most nights you roll up?
Yeah, I mean, so what?
So I guess I should go.
Yes.
All right, I will go.
Stories.
Look, for those of us, David and I have done this a lot for a living. We've been around these red carpet events, and so they get old and all of that. And yet, they're quite
very
fun.
Cool. Very cool.
They're quite fun. If you've never done them, they're quite fun.
I suppose I should probably use one of the Indochino suits, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I should not just go up in jeans and a T-shirt.
Well, no. You know, you're not big enough star.
Please make sure you have a ride back to the train station.
Yeah. Yes.
So that would be
yes.
Well, so that is tomorrow night. And, yes. we wish Hank
yes.
all the best. What else? You know what? There are things I want to get to with David on the NBA, but we don't want Tori to leave this in the green room, so I'm going to bring this up now. I understand that Brian is going to go to the Masters, which in a household, most households, you would say, that's great.
That's awesome.
I'm so happy for
yes.
you. But it's not working out that
we're
way.
We're not most households,
right.
are we?
Right.
He got, as Michael knows, because Michael's been his consultant on this, he was invited to go to the Masters with some buddy from something or other, some bank or something like that. And his first instinct was, great, I'm going to the Masters. His first instinct was not, would you like me to see if you can go, Tori? Should I see if the boys or Devin can go? Because it's a really amazing event. Never even occurred to him. So right now, we are tallying up how much money we're going to make him spend on us getting Masters gear. Again, Michael's been an excellent consultant on this. We're starting with the needlepoint belt and going up from there. Do you have yours on today, Michael?
I do not have a Masters needlepoint belt. I guarantee your boys will want a tall tour visor.
Yep, that's
and you're
going
to have to get the year-specific Masters green hat. I easily think this is going to be upwards of $3,000.
Oh,
excellent.
My God.
Excellent.
And so that makes you happy.
It makes me very, very happy.
Because you're
going to make this as painful as possible. Because, as I started to say earlier, over the years, I've been very fortunate to be invited to a lot of really cool events and taken the spouse along. Two Super Bowls, a World Series, Final Four,
you
Derby.
You never once said, I'm going alone.
Premieres. Never once.
And
I
Brian,
would
you
say,
can take care of the kids.
Not only did I not say, I'm not going, I would say, I don't want to go unless Brian can come.
That's fantastic
yeah.
on your part.
I would never bring
he's
my
toast.
Wife to anything. Kidding?
It's
just pure anger and hatred between now and the Masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's only
all
a couple of weeks.
Right.
By the
yes.
way, as long as we're scheduling things, save the date, June 9th, we are having a 25th anniversary party.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
So
maybe.
And the boys can wear their Masters gear. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the boy. And Devin, you know what you ought to do? You ought to charge a horse.
Yes. Because you ought to just go
there
get a
go.
Horse.
For but Devin. Can I talk about, as Devin and I started to explore what we might make him buy for us, the women's
stuff.
They
have everything.
Well, they do, but women's clothing in golf, come on.
Not great.
Not great.
It is not great.
It's like
because it's all pastel.
It's all pastel.
It's pastel.
And golf attire.
And it's skorts and it's sensible shoes.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You know, in the horse world, you got leather, you got some spurs.
I'm sorry, skort? Is that a skirt that's also a short?
Yeah, okay. It's really sad.
The takeaway I take from this is Tori likes leather.
Yeah.
Men are happy to wear golf stuff all the time because it is not that much different from their regular clothing.
Right.
But women in golf stuff are always women in golf stuff.
Yeah.
You always say, oh, that's golf stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work in quite the same way.
Even sweaters, and you can go, oh, no.
Yeah. Okay.
So. I'm excited to see how many of those souvenir collector beer cups he brings
Do they
back.
Have cozies and things like that?
Oh, they'll definitely have koozies, but it's everyone has the stack of 15 plastic cups.
They're white and they've got the yellow.
That they bring home because they think they're going to use it as service.
We'll get those and use them at the party that Brian won't attend.
So that's wonderful. All right, so let's get into the show. Let's get into a little bit of basketball, starting with the fact that Oklahoma City last night, Kevin Durant did show up. Yep. He showed up in regular clothes because he's hurt, but he traveled with the team and risked all sorts of injury and outcry on the heels of Golden State management, apparently. And Steph Curry and Steve Kerr could not distance themselves further from this notion that Golden State management said it was terrible the way he was treated last time, and you people should have held a special event for him, to which my answer was, are you kidding me? David, do you want to take a shot at
Tony,
that?
Tony, I saw this story yesterday, and I saw this... And I'm sitting there going, I mean, are you nuts?
What are you doing?
What do you expect? You expect flower girls with rose petals to like pave the way for this guy when he comes back? He left you.
You didn't trade him and he didn't retire.
Right.
He dumped you and didn't tell you.
He dumped you for the hotter girl.
That's right.
And you're going to feel a certain way about that.
Just, it's astonishing to me that, I mean, look, Kevin Durant is a great talent who has fit in with this team better than anyone could have ever expected. He is selfless. He's great. But he not only dumped Oklahoma City, not only that, he didn't even tell Russell Westbrook and whatever you think of Russell Westbrook, you got to tell him.
Got to tell him.
Yes. I mean, he's the villain in the piece. Yeah. Why should Oklahoma City treat him
exactly. well? Exactly. The scorned lover should bend over backwards to make the cuck cold feel better? Come on, that's insane.
If you're Oklahoma City, yes, you should.
Yeah, no.
They did. They did exactly what they should do.
No.
You don't treat your husband worse than that.
Well, I might.
So in this particular game last night, and by the way, Golden State is much better. They're just much better. Russell Westbrook picked a bad night to have a really bad game, 4-16, and to get in a shoving match with Steph Curry. Steph Curry did two things that I would tell you 2 years ago, I would tell you were out of character. But you know what? Character changes. Character redevelops over time. Steph Curry dunked and showed off about it. Mm-hmm. And Steph Curry hit a shot at the end of the first half and showed off about it. And you get the sense, David, that Steph Curry loathes Oklahoma City.
I think that's an accurate, very accurate.
Because Westbrook has been very dismissive of him.
He said, who's he? Last week, as a matter of fact,
right.
The two-time MVP. Who's he?
He personally does not like Steph Curry,
and that is clear. And Golden State, and I said this again, I think there's a real sense that they want to make sure they got Durant's back when he goes back to OKC. It is not a coincidence that they got in a shoving match last night. It is not a coincidence that Curry and Thompson each hit 7 threes last night. That's not a coincidence. They want to bury the Thunder when they go
Curry back. And Thompson were 20 of 38.
Yeah.
You take that every night, you can get it. And Westbrook was 4 of 16
right.
in a game that had to be meaningful to him.
Sure, sure. You think this is the one you're going to get. But now, for I think it's 6 straight, Golden State just slapping OKC around. I mean, it's not even close.
So what is good about Golden State, because they do not have the reputation of being – and maybe they should, of being aggressive and being nasty. They have the pretty boy reputation.
Right. Yeah. Other than Draymond.
But yes. But
kicks people.
There are two teams they hate. They hate the Clippers.
Right.
And they hate the Thunder. And that's good to watch.
I love it. I love it. I love this. I think it's great for the league. That's why I like when the Wizards and Celtics get in shoving matches. It's good. Enjoy that.
And that's what we're getting to next. If you think that Russell Westbrook had a bad night, John Wall didn't have a worse night, but he had a bad night.
A bad night.
John Wall didn't help him with the, when the lights were on on the road. When you got to win occasionally, John Wall shied from it. He was not good enough at all. And Isaiah Thomas, who has a little bit of punkiness to him,
Isaiah Thomas did
shine. Because I watched that game. It was 17-10, and the Wizards looked good. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you knew, Boston was in control of that game.
Yeah.
Out-rebounded the Wizards, and Wall and Beal, 10 for 25.
Yeah,
the highlight of the game is Brandon Jennings, who has been a Wizard for, I don't know, 30 minutes. What was he doing
getting a little chesty, I couldn't believe the call.
Started it.
Well, he did start it, and he should have gotten a technical, but Rozier two-hand shoves him and gets nothing.
I thought it was a double T.
No, well, it's a double technical. And that's an offensive foul. I mean, that's a foul, for God's sake. And nothing, but yeah, it seemed to get Boston going. I mean, they played great.
I thought the Wizards were going to catch and pass Cleveland. I do not think that anymore.
Nope,
and plus, eight of their last 12 are on the road.
They're tired, Tony. They look like a tired team to me. I think they put so much into that road trip. And I get
they were great on the road.
They were great on the road, but they expended a ton of energy on that trip. Back-to-back overtime games. And they haven't had a break since. It's been day off game, day off game, day off game. I just think they're gassed. I don't think defensively, you can just see they're not even close to what they were a month ago.
This, of course, leads into the largest burning candle in the NBA right now, which is resting players.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about resting players? My position on this has been clear for a number of years, starting with the sainted Greg Popovich, who I know you love. And I hate because of the way he treats you, and you love him. So I have difficulty rationalizing this in my own head. But now you have Steve Kerr, a pup from Popovich, resting four people. You have LeBron James, the general manager and coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, resting himself and whoever else wants to. Resting Kevin Love, who had been rested for 3 weeks. And this leads into something because of David's network and my network. Spent a lot of money on the NBA.
$24 billion.
And on successive Saturdays.
With a B.
On successive Saturdays, when ESPN reserves ABC, the network platform, for what appear to be, when the schedule comes out, big games.
Marquee games.
If you're watching these games, nobody's in these games.
Right.
The ratings are disastrous, and my position has always been the same, which is this. People spend a lot of money to maybe – we're not talking about season ticket holders here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the people that highlight one particular game and put up a lot of money and say, I want to see that game because I want to see LeBron James in the West because he's not going to be there again.
Right.
And I want to see Steph Curry in the East because he's not going to be there again. And what do you mean I can't see them? And my position has always been that a living, breathing commissioner in the league would come out and say something like this. We may not be able to fix this tonight, but we will fix this. And it seems to be hitting a crescendo now, and I think it's because of television partners.
Tori has her hand up.
Tori, I'm sorry.
Question following what you just said. Could they ever, in future negotiations, could the networks ever say the star players, I don't know how you define that, have to play a certain amount of time in the late games?
Who's a star player?
I know, right?
I mean,
but I'm with you.
Well,
it's all about
like the PGA Tour says there's a minimum amount of events you have to be in. But I,
right.
And what hurts this, particularly in the modern NBA, is the Karl Malones and Michael Jordans, who played
82.
Yeah.
So what is your feeling?
Well, look, there's no good solution to this because of the networks. I mean, we have to be fair about this. Between ESPN and Turner, we have national games, national windows on 5 of 7 nights.
Wow.
Okay, so that's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. And now Saturday. So it's really 6 halfway, you know, for half of the
season. Saturday's becoming Thursday night football.
Yeah. And so if we want exclusivity, we want these guys to be available for every single game, they can't be. They just can't be. I mean, there's no way you can do it. Now, they're going to start the season a week earlier next year. That should alleviate most of the back-to-backs. It won't alleviate all of the back-to-backs, but it'll get rid of most of them. And so hopefully this situation won't be a problem. There's no easy solution to this, Tony. It's not like Adam Silver can just wave a wand and say, make it so. And it's not.
No, you got to negotiate it.
Well, I'm not sure how you negotiate it. You can't negotiate a coach making a decision based on what he's told by his you know, player performance people.
What's interesting about that is the statement that Adam Silver made, which I saw this morning, goes to ownership.
Yeah.
And it says, hey, we're not messing around with coaches. We're not taking away a coach's right. We're saying to you that this is your team and this right. is our league.
That's right. And it's fair for him to say it. I just don't know how you enforce it. If the trainer and the medical staff say, hey, LeBron's in the red, and that's what their job is, to tell you when these guys are in the red. His performance level is susceptible to injury if he plays this game, which is exactly what they told Steve Kerr about Curry and Thompson. This is the game. If you play them, their chances of getting hurt go up exponentially. What are you supposed
to do? Advanced analytics. Wilbon hates it.
I know, but that's where we are now. I mean, you want the information. Okay, this is the information.
And that's information that a team and a coach needs.
Yeah.
My view of it is different. My view of it is this is entertainment, and I want to see these guys.
I
saw Michael Jordan every night.
I agree. And I take the fans' point of view on this one,
which
is, to your point, Steph Curry is in Chicago once a year.
Well, I'm paying premium dollars to see him.
LeBron is in Sacramento once a year.
You know, I mean, I don't want to do that thing where we do it for the kids, but in fact,
but you do
people save up money and they take their kids.
Yeah, but also you do it for the kids, and the kids want the jerseys. And I would think if I were Steph Curry's operation, I would want him playing in a lot of different cities, because that's going to up. Who's buying the jerseys? Who's buying all the gear?
Well, he's number one in jersey sales. Yeah.
Play 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I have proposed a solution to this. I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. If a team decides that they are not going to play a player because he needs rest, like Durant last night, he has to not only show up, you can't send him home, he has to show up, and he has to show up 2-3 hours before tip-off, and he has to sign autographs and take pictures with fans.
I think it's a very good idea, David. I like that a lot.
That would be my solution.
It's very Agamemnon of David.
I mean, maybe you can't see him play, but at least you can shake his hand. And that would mean a lot to a kid.
Of course, in Oklahoma City for Durant, that could be he could get a buzzer in his hand or a knife in his hand or something like that.
Because of the terrible people in Oklahoma City who don't, roll out the red carpet for the guy who jilted them.
I mean, honestly, when we talked about this yesterday on TV, I said, are you kidding me? Is this Joe Lacob's true position? Because it's insane.
No, that's crazy.
All right, so we'll take a break. That was a long segment. Not a bad segment.
Interesting.
Not bad.
Sporty.
We're going to come back with Pat Forty, who sat just a few feet in front of a very interesting coach's wife over the weekend. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Speaking of sports, as Howard used to say, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be way too complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person when the coach doesn't leave him home. And SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. So you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. I would just add parenthetically that those games in Madison Square Garden where people expected Duke and Villanova, you could probably get them. Get them now.
Right.
Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals of every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, number one, download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Number two, go to the settings tab and click on add a promo code. Number three, enter the promo code Tony. That's all you have to do, because SeatGeek will then, number four, send you $20 after you have made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today. I'm getting great at reading these things.
Yes, I really am.
I'm getting good.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Everybody here knows you're crazy. This is Stephen Dawson. Been bouncing like a bird on a limb. His band is called Virginia Coalition. The name of this song is Places People. That's how David and I felt it should be pronounced, as opposed to Places People. It's, it's not like he is placing people. It's, hey, Places People. We're getting ready to shoot, right?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Probably it.
This is a take. Live take now.
Yeah, so let's go. All right, he plays in Pat Forty of Yahoo, and yes, we will get to Pat Forty and his seat near the Wichita State coach's wife in a second. I thought I would go macro before I went micro here, but please be prepared for that particular question. You watched everything. Everybody watched most. You watched all. What's your biggest takeaway from the first weekend, the 4 days? Where's Pat?
He's there. Can he not hear us?
No. I'm here.
Oh, did you hear the question? Your biggest takeaway
from... Sorry, no, I did not.
Okay, so that was good. Then you didn't hear the stuff about Greg Marshall's wife, and we'll get to that later. What's your biggest takeaway after watching 4 days of basketball?
That the ACC is a colossal bust. Yeah. That was the biggest surprise to me. That you have both, you know, Louisville, Duke, Florida State all flaming out. North Carolina narrowly beating Arkansas, which was about the fifth best team in the SEC. You know, that really surprised me. They got 9 teams in the tournament. They have 1 still alive. And I thought, like everyone else, that this was a really good league this year. But maybe looks were deceiving.
Well, so yeah, let me get to that question, because the follow-up question, and I felt the same way. If I got anything really, really wrong, it was the ACC. And in contrast, because if you get the ACC really, really wrong, you also got the SEC really, really wrong. And I did. The SEC could have won 5. They could have. Vanderbilt absolutely could have beaten Northwestern, and Arkansas is right there until the last minute or so with North Carolina. So they could be 5-0. So, but the follow-up question, Pat, would be, is it fair to judge a conference based on the sort of vagaries of the draw of a tournament? I mean, I reluctantly conclude that it is, but maybe you think differently.
It's not a full indication of exactly what that conference was for 3 months, but this is money time. This is what matters. These are the games that people watch and that define, you know, how your season basically went. So from that standpoint, I said on Twitter, I have bashed the SEC as much as anyone.
Right.
And so I'm going to hush up now. Because they did have a very, very good opening weekend. Not just, as you said, you know, the teams that won, but the games that they lost even. And when you look at, like, what Florida did to Virginia, that was just astounding to me.
Virginia is a team that we need, the two teams you need to talk about. Notre Dame, which almost went out to Princeton, and then went out in the next round. And I thought Notre Dame, with its history in the tournament, was going to get to the 16s. Virginia, and I don't know what to say about Tony Bennett and the way he coaches a team and the way he recruits and all of that, because it seems to work. It worked beautifully, maybe not in the NCAAs, but certainly over the course of 3 or 4 seasons in the ACC. And this was awful beyond words, and they just don't score. What's that?
It was soccer. Putrid. I mean, it was terrible. And, you know, that's the thing for me. And, I got into it with a bunch of very defensive Virginia fans via Twitter while that debacle was going on against Florida, because they just don't want to hear anything negative. But I just don't think his stuff is built for March success. The way they just completely seize up and melt down at times. I mean, last year they did it. It was further on. It was in the Elite Eight. But
they were a 2-seed. They were 2-seed the last couple of years, 2 or 1, and they haven't done anything in the tournament.
39 points.
No,
you can't win.
And I basically said, because like his name had been a hot name for Indiana. Is this the guy you want? A guy with just spectacular flameouts. I mean, not just oh darn we lost, but oh my gosh, cover your eyes and send the children to their rooms. It's just so ghastly you can't even talk about it.
You cannot be a big time program and get 39 points in a tournament. I mean, you just can't do that.
I guess Florida's playing well, but it's Florida. You weren't playing the number one team in the country.
That's bad. By the way, so I made a list last night preparatory to talking to you. Of the 4 games that stood out in my mind, the games that I liked the most, and I didn't watch every game, but I watched a lot of games. Number 1 for me was Kentucky-Wichita State. Number 2 was Oregon-Rhode Island, Wisconsin-Villanova, and Northwestern-Vanderbilt. And I just thought those were all great games. And I'm wondering if you had to rank teams. And by the way, the next question, no matter what you say, it doesn't matter. The next question is Greg Marshall's wife. So it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say, but I'm wondering where you are on this particular list that I had of really games that I really loved watching. I did. Loved them.
That's a good list. No, it's a very good list. I would start with that one, with your number one as well. I was there, obviously. While my ears are still getting over it, it was a otherwise wonderful game.
Yeah.
It was, you know, dramatic. It was tense. It was tough-minded. You know, I'll give the Kentucky guys credit because a lot of people have thought they're kind of glamour boys who don't want to mix it up.
Oh, they worked hard.
Yeah, they did. Made tough plays when they had to. Win it on two huge defensive plays. So that game definitely, to me, stood out. I also covered Michigan and Louisville, and I really liked the Michigan story. Mm-hmm. So that one, you know, to me was very compelling. Rhode Island broke my heart because I did have them in the Sweet 16, and I thought they had that game and couldn't quite put it away. Trying to think beyond that.
Wisconsin, Villanova, Northwestern, Vanderbilt.
Oh.
I mean, that foul, that's the worst foul you've ever seen in your life. I mean, you just go, oh, my God, what did he do? What did he do?
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, that was terrible. That was terrible. But, yes, Wisconsin, Villanova, yeah, that one I think deserves some mention because these Wisconsin guys, and I did say going into the Big Ten tournament that I thought their late season malaise was understandable because they're a bunch of seniors who know that February doesn't matter all that much, and they're probably just tired of it and just get us to the postseason like Florida's team in 07 and then watch what we can do. And now they're in their fourth straight Sweet 16, and they've eliminated the overall number one seed two of the last 3 years.
They give you great value in the tournament. I believe that the Wisconsin-Kentucky game from 2 or 3 years back was the best game I've ever seen in the tournament. I loved it so much. I thought it was such a high-level game, a Final Four game. I'll get one other just thing, a side note here, because you talk about Kentucky and their glamorous team and how maybe you're afraid they don't work that hard. I work with Wilbon, who is just wild about the kid from Kansas and just wild about Lonzo Ball. I will tell you this. I don't think since Chris Webber, guy I don't like, but I will give him this. Chris Webber had the fastest jump up I have ever seen. If the ball got in Chris Webber's hands as a collegian, he was in the air immediately. This kid Monk goes quicker and higher than anybody I've ever seen, Pat. You must have seen him a lot because you live in Kentucky. I think he may not be a consistent player, but what an unbelievable talent he clearly is.
Oh, yeah. No, he is a gloriously talented player. And, yeah, he is inconsistent. He's also 18, 19. I'm not sure which one. But
yeah.
So you're going to get some of that. But yeah, he's – wow. And, yes, he gets off the floor.
So
I mean, he
quickly.
Blocked that shot by Marcus McDuffie. He's 5 inches shorter than McDuffie, and he had his hand over the top like it was a senior playing against a seventh grader. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's
just like – that so I mean that was that
like he's
was really
actually the overworked word is what he is. He's awesome. What the things he does, you're awed by how quickly and how high he gets up. And by the way, in a college game that only lasts 40 minutes, he's gone over 40 a few times, which is a big deal. So now let us get to the question I promised. Greg Marshall's wife, you are sitting in like I don't know 3 feet, 3 feet from her. You're all over the internet. So what was that about?
Behind me.
Yeah, what was that about?
That was my press row seat, and that's who she is. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, my God, this woman, I've seen her act before. So, you know, I saw it. I've seen it at Missouri Valley Conference tournaments. She has a level of infamy there. And, you know, she is an obnoxious fan who happens to be married to the basketball coach, which I think makes this a bit problematic for him. Mm. The one thing I will say is because she was literally directly behind me and because I actually liked the game I was watching, I did not spend all of my time turning around to try to figure out exactly who was saying what. I didn't care that much. I wanted to watch the game.
Right.
But I pieced together later via what other people saw and heard and everything, some of the stuff she was saying. I can't say for sure how profane it was, but I thought it was pretty bad for her to just be literally like trash talking Malik Monk. It's like, you know what? He's 19. You're 50 or whatever. Grow up and hush up. I cheer for your team. If you want to get mad at the refs, which she did a lot, that's fine too. But don't go after the freshman kid from the other team.
It's interesting because there is There's a level of exposure and probably responsibility being the coach's wife
sure.
that sets you apart and doesn't give you exactly the same rights as anybody else in the stands. And when it's called to her attention constantly, I've wondered about this, and I'm extrapolating so far out that it's probably unfair. So I'm going to say it's probably unfair. But if you look at the last 6 or 7 years in college basketball, you can't find anybody who's done a better job than Greg Marshall. Ooh. You just can't.
Yeah.
And that is not a top 10 or 15 program. And you ask yourself, at least I ask myself, why is he still there? Why haven't people sent out buckets of money for him at other places? What do you think, Pat?
That's not unfair at all. I think it's not only fair, it's an insightful supposition. I can't say with certainty that yes, all right, his wife has helped cost him jobs. I know this. Whoa. Yeah, and he is an unbelievable coach. He's not just a good coach, he's ridiculously good.
Yes. They don't belong on the floor with some of these teams.
Yes, at Wichita State. But also, his personality is prickly.
Well, he got in a fight.
He's a hard guy, I think, to be his boss. He's a hard guy to have around. So, you know, there's a degree of leeriness about that. But I wonder, specific in this instance and this incident, Tony, it's Indianapolis. There's a job open at Indiana, a really good job.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he really had interest in it or thought he could get it. But after that, I guarantee he's not getting it.
It's interesting to me because he also, if I recall correctly, over the summer, he like got in a fist fight in an exhibition game outside the borders of the United States. Am I right on that? Do you know what I'm talking about with Greg Marshall? It was shown on TV.
Yeah,
it was just some weird thing. Where
I honestly don't know.
Okay,
you
could find this somewhere where you'd say, what are you doing? Why are... You're too good for this. Why is there some physical altercation on the court in an it's one of those exhibition games. We're playing nine
right.
games in Manila or whatever, and you go, what is the guy doing? Because he's really good. That's undeniable how good he is. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and I feel badly for Wichita State and for him that they. I just feel like they've gotten jobbed on seeding and on bracketing.
Oh.
The last three of the last 4 years. But still, you know, some stuff you bring upon you that you don't need to bring upon you, or your wife brings upon you. That's the other thing, you know, she was in the post-game press conference and popped off there. That's the thing that made me mad.
Very weird.
Is she showed up in the post-game press conference during the interviews, and Landry Shamet, their point guard, is talking about one of the last two plays, bringing the ball around, and she just yells out, he got fouled. It's like, yeah. This is not your place, ma'am. Be quiet.
He got ejected from an exhibition game in Canada.
This is what I'm talking about. Yes. I mean,
lost his mind, apparently.
What are you doing? All right, let me get you out of here on this. In my mind, I'm looking at West Virginia, Baylor, Florida, South Carolina, Xavier, and Butler, and I'm thinking, well, they're not going to win it, which in my mind leaves Michigan, Wisconsin, Kentucky, UCLA, UNC, Gonzaga, Arizona, Oregon, Kansas, and Purdue, and probably some of them in your mind aren't going to win it. So who do you like at this point?
I think I like Wisconsin in the East. Just the veterans, the poise, the way they're playing right now. I'm very much sold on them. I pick North Carolina in the South, but I am tempted to change that to UCLA because I thought they were awfully good. Through that stretch in the Midwest, I'd say Kansas is hard to.
They look great against Michigan State.
Yeah,
they look great.
Yeah, and I did pick Arizona in the West. So what the heck? It would be nice to have one thing right.
Yeah, I'm alive with Arizona and nothing else, and I'm not really all that confident about the thing. And I don't know how you felt about this, but without buzzer beaters and without some 12s and some 13s. Disappointing is the wrong word, but it had an ordinary feel. Like what we've got now is, you know, it's now we got the holiday festival. You know, now we got the Maui. You know what I mean? It's okay, but
yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
So. No, I'm totally with you. The I don't know, magic, serendipity, whatever of the tournament was missing. There was literally no buzzer beaters. There were no overtime games. There was no true shockers. I mean, Middle Tennessee shouldn't have been a 12 seed. I think everybody picked them to beat Minnesota. I certainly did.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get to the round of 16 and Cinderella is Xavier, which has been good forever,
right.
spends, you know, $2.5 million a year on their coach and has a great facility. No, that's so this tournament, it doesn't have charm is what the very least, I guess what I would say.
Thank you, Pat, as always. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports, boys and girls. We will take a break. We're going to come back with some news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. There is free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And if you try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home, and then you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States of America, and you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony. And Casper is spelled C-A-S-P-E-R. Use the promo code Tony. Let's do it again. www.casper.com/Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, it's circusy. Circusy. Yeah.
Loosen up and let daylight go. Bury tomorrow.
Getting quicker.
A little revival-y.
Justin Cox, the band is called Polly Orchid. The name of the song is Bottom of the Bay. Michael, we are so thrilled by the amount of tunes that we get that are so good. If people want to submit their original music, how do they do so?
They can submit it to jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And if people want to buy NCAA stuff or whatever we're doing?
You know, if you're sitting at home and you realize that your bracket is completely busted, I encourage you to pick up some This Bracket Stinks gear online.
Absolutely.
The koozies and the pint glass, I can speak from experience, are great, and the shirts look awesome.
That's great to know. And how do they do that?
They can go to shop.tonykornheiser.com.
All right, so we have news, Nigel.
We do indeed, Mr. Tony. And what some people are calling the crime of the century, other people are just saying some jerseys got stolen. The jersey from Tom Brady from the Super Bowl has been recovered, along with his other jersey from the Super Bowl 2 years ago in a helmet. So,
which might be Von Miller's helmet.
Yes, they believe it's Von Miller's helmet because they found a number of stickers in it, Armed Forces stickers in it, and they believe it's his. It was found, all these items were found in Mexico.
That's why you're building that wall.
That's exactly
that's why you're building that
Maybe
wall.
That's
getting ready to start the team.
Sell the jerseys to pay for the wall, I'm not sure. The man allegedly involved in this case is Martin Mauricio Ortega.
Allegedly is very nice, because it really seems like the net has encircled him.
Well, when you see the video, have you seen the video?
I have not. Others have.
When you see the video, this one gentleman walks in to the locker room. And then you see him walking out with something stuffed underneath his arm.
Something big
that appears to be a jersey.
Big and jersey and helmet shaped.
Yes.
So yesterday, one of the people that works at PTI, the great Daniel Light, was angered because at around 2 o'clock yesterday, they were still blurring the face of this particular person and had not named him as a suspect. And he said, "Well, why won't you name him?" And I said, Well, just because you have determined that he's in receipt of stolen property doesn't necessarily mean
that
he's the guy who stole it. So maybe they want to make sure they're being very protective before they want to say he is the suspect. Apparently now they have said that. My feeling is two things. One, the NFL has apparently been credentialing this guy for years.
Right. Yes.
For years. That is a failure on their system, and Kathy Lanier is probably pretty steamed, even though she just got into this thing this year. And the second thing that I would say is this person cannot be allowed to be credentialed to any sporting event in the United States ever again, no matter what it is.
I don't think it'll be a problem. He is now a former member of Diario La Prensa. He was actually the director, but they have now let him go. Well, so
he stepped down, or they fired him a week or so ago, right? He's been out since March 5th or March 6th.
Because they knew this was coming?
Yeah.
They accepted his resignation. I don't have a timing for that, citing his previous mentions of family health issues.
Mm. Right, his grandmother was 100 years old.
Signed Epstein's mother.
Ago.
He wants to spend more time with him.
I got a note.
But did we ever know
this is pretty good police work, and not only who knew there was another jersey?
Right.
Who knew there was a helmet?
Well, first of all, is this really good police work? Why did it take them this many weeks to look at the video, right? To look at the video? It seems like that'd be the first thing you would do.
Well, they went through, as the authorities went over the approximately 20,000 credentials and listed, went through all those and then looked at the video, and they were trying to match it up, and they identified this fellow Ortega as a person of interest.
But if he's been following around the NFL for all these years, somebody could look at the video and go, oh, that guy walking out with something stuffed in his shirt, that's Mario.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that this has been resolved.
But to your question, why didn't we know about the other jersey?
Yeah, never.
Maybe
heard
Brady never said anything about the other jersey. That's the Malcolm Butler.
Yes.
Game.
Would you accept a game worn jersey?
Me, no, I don't have any use for it.
What's the appeal for that?
I don't care.
It's game worn.
It's like those people who buy or accept stolen artwork and they can never display it. They can never sell it.
It's just in their basement. But
they like having it. Yeah.
You know who, as a sort of side note, from people who are new to the show don't remember this bloke, but Scotty Len, you know Scotty.
Yeah.
He's famous for getting game-worn hockey jerseys. Had a huge collection of them.
Well,
so
what does he do with them? Are they mounted in?
He steal them?
I think he just likes having them. I'm not sure what the thought process is behind
Keith Olbermann had, I believe, like 50 or 60 baseball jerseys that he hung up and hung from the ceiling in his apartment and stuff like that. That's what he likes.
Some people like. Looks like some sad news for Gail Sayers, 73-year-old. Gail Sayers suffering from dementia. Well, his family says he's still physically strong, but struggling with many daily activities. His wife describes an incident recently where he tried to wash his hands with carpet cleaner, and another NFL wife said, don't let him out of your sight. You know, it just really keeps you on your toes.
He's 73 years old. Maybe that's a little bit early for dementia, but I'm sure in the population at large, there's many people who suffer from dementia at even an earlier age. The immediate inclination, and we talked about this with Dwight Clark, is to say football causes this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, he sued.
Can't help.
He sued.
But I don't know if it causes.
Sayers sued the NFL in 2014, saying concussions led to problems, including loss of memory, dementia, Alzheimer's, neurological disorder,
easy
depression.
For you to say.
Yeah, it's really
easy.
Tough for me to say. So clearly he's trying to draw a line there. Yeah. You know.
Gail Sayers is one of the all-time
Didn't Dwight Clark say in the statement that, or he thought that might be a contributing factor?
Yes, but I don't know. I don't know that. This is what I'm getting to. That I doubt there's been a thimbleful of research linking these particular diseases with football yet. I mean, we're way up the road on this. We have no idea if this. You got to start the research. You can make this assumption, and I think we would all agree, being banged around in your head can't help. It can't help.
The CTE stuff is pretty.
That they've got the CTE they've got. Yeah. ALS, I don't know. Dementia.
And Gail says, not a long career, right? Had knee problems, something
Five
like
years.
That?
Sandy Koufax.
Well, but just utterly brilliant in the time he played.
Nobody like him. Sandy Koufax,
yeah, Sandy
right?
Koufax. Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you're old enough to know that, yes, Sandy Koufax.
Looks like Will Wade is leaving VCU to take over the basketball duties at LSU. He guided the Rams to the NCAA tournament in both of his seasons there, but now he's moving on.
Okay. So let's just mention this. LSU, at one point with Dale Brown, was a premier job. Since then, nothing. Last year, we still haven't seen Ben Simmons in the NBA yet, you know, because it's Philadelphia draftee. But he's the best player in college, they thought, and they weren't even good enough to make the tournament.
That's right.
Just like the best player this year, people say out in University of Washington, Markel the DeMatha kid.
Yes, Markel Fultz.
They won 2 games.
Yeah, they literally were 2-16 two in conference.
Games. So is the LSU job a good job? No. Right now, today, no. Is it potentially a good job? Sure. It once was a good job, but you don't know. And Will Wade, not at VCU long. That's 2-3 years.
2 years.
And what it suggests to me is, you know, I wish Will Wade all the luck in the world. Shaka Smart, who I thought and think is a really good coach, is getting killed at Texas.
Yes, he is. It's hard.
Getting killed. It's yes. So sometimes if you have something good.
Although Big John Thompson told me a long time ago, you want one of those University of Johns.
Right. 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 Yeah. They're the big ones in terms of money. Yeah, they're the big ones. Yeah. So okay.
Some new travel restrictions. Passengers traveling to the United States from 10 airports in 8 Muslim-majority countries will be prohibited from bringing laptops, tablets, and other portable electronic devices on board with them when they fly. It does not include mobile phones, smartphones, things like
this
that.
This is obviously something to do with security and the notion that these things could blow up.
Yes, this is...
Okay, but if they were terrified of this, they would have started it the moment they announced it and not given a 4-day window, don't you think?
Yes, it takes...
Corey?
Yeah, really hard to execute. Really, really hard. First of all, you have to have the security people are now prepared to look for those and find them and get them out of people's hands.
It's not. These are not flights that originate in the United States, so you don't have any idea what the security systems are.
No, yes.
Not as good as ours.
No, the ban starts on Saturday. It's supposed to be an indefinite ban, although some people in Dubai have said it will end in October. The 10 airports in 8 countries, Egypt, Jordan, Kuwait, Morocco, Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Let me just say this about what you just said, that people where are going to say it's ending in October?
Dubai.
I don't know that it's that country's call. I mean, we're the people doing this.
Right.
We're the people doing this. So I don't know that that's true.
Are we still banning the Samsung phones?
I believe
the ones that blow up.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I'm standing in line getting on a plane. I'm looking at everybody's phones.
I hope so.
I will knock it out of their hands.
I wouldn't get in a plane either with the Samsung washing machine.
No.
In case somebody said, "Can I buy this extra seat for my Samsung washing machine?"
Yeah, no.
It's going to blow up.
For me.
No,
it'll blow up. Mr. Tony, I want to tell you a story about love and overcoming danger.
Please do.
For the one that you love. We're going to take you down under.
Even if they don't take you to the Masters.
Right.
Even if they don't take you to the Masters, perhaps they will buy you lots of goodies whilst they're there. In Australia, a young bloke by the name, I've got to get his name here, it's Lee DePauw, and that's spelled, it's P-A-A-U-W. Am I pronouncing that right, we think?
How would sure. I know? I've never seen a name
absolutely.
Like that.
DePauw, I think that's how we pronounce it.
That's like the Mac.
Yes,
not the Mac. The Mac.
18-year-old Australian was running around with a bunch of people who were backpacking through Australia, including a 24-year-old woman from England, Somerset, by the name of Sophie Patterson. Well,
Sophie.
Yes. Well, Lee took a shine to Miss Patterson and really was just taken with her. And so he was talking to her and trying to impress her. And so in the course of these efforts, they came across upon a river. And he said, oh, yeah, this is a crocodile-infested river. But I could swim across it. You know, I could get in there and I won't get eaten. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, well, if I do that, maybe we can get together or something like that. They're like, you're mad. What are you talking about? So he said, look, I'll just swim out and I'll swim back. And then if I do that, maybe we'll go for, you know, a date or something like that. So, of course, he swims out. And as he's getting back to the dock, a 10-foot crocodile grabs him, nearly takes off his left arm. Yeah. He punches it once. Doesn't let go, punches it again in the eye, which apparently is the trick. If you punch a crocodile in the eye,
tough to know that. Tough to know
as you're dying.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
So he gets away from the crocodile. They take him to the hospital. They think he's going to lose his arm. He doesn't lose his arm. But as he's interviewed, he says, you know what? I'm actually going to go on a movie date with Miss Patterson, and haters going to hate, but I just got a date. Well, unfortunately, in the follow-up to this, when Miss Patterson was asked about it, she said, he's just a kid. I barely know him. Yeah. And they said, well, what if he'd been attacked by a great white shark? She's like, this sort of stuff doesn't impress me, so there is no date.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Good. Good. How else would you...
Yeah. Because if she had dated him, I would have thought she was a complete idiot as well. You know, they always say this thing about punch them in the nose, punch them in the eye. And which is it?
Yeah, all those guys are named Lefty, by the way.
Doesn't work.
It's the moral of the story, Tony. Croc's going to croc.
That's what they do.
Haters going to hate, Croc's going
to
croc.
That's what they do. They're not coming out of the river to attack you and eat the picnic food.
Oh, look, dinner. It just came.
Stop.
Who ordered?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Domino's. Let's get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. Michael has trivia from last night at Chad's. Ooh. I don't know who won. We'll find that out later in the show, I would imagine. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. You heard Nigel say earlier in the show that he was going to go to this red carpet deal in New York tomorrow night. It's tomorrow night, right?
That's right.
With Hank Azaria for the debut of his show, Brockmire. Well, he's going to wear his Indochino suit. You have two of these things.
I do. I have a light-colored suit, and I have a black suit. I think I'll wear the black. It's probably a bit better for this.
It's still in March. I don't think the light-colored suit
gotta go
is.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. So do you want to describe how you...
Yes, it's marvelous. I mean, I don't have a tailor. I don't have the money to get one of those expensive, you know, suits that are tailored directly to you. Right. And someone directed me to Indochino. Well, I'm not in your tax bracket yet.
Yes.
So I went to Indochino. It's very reasonable. It's very reasonable prices. And you measure yourself, or you can go to a tailor and have them measure you. You send your measurements in. They send you back the suit. It fits perfectly.
It's perfect for you.
I mean, you've seen me wear it.
It's perfect
for you. It's absolutely delightful.
Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special occasion like the red carpet premiere of Brockmire. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men, are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order. You wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. And this week, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, plus the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony K for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio. I told you this yesterday. Playing Chuck Berry all week. Most important founder of rock and roll, in my opinion, is Chuck Berry in terms of critical commentary. This is that car song that we talked about yesterday. This is the manifest destiny of America. Mm-hmm. You get in a car and you see where it takes you.
Yeah.
Because basically, if you're on the East Coast, you're going north, you can make a left, and you can drive for the next 7 days. And you can find something you want. The opposite is true in California. You can just turn it around the other way. Springsteen and Brian Wilson, this is what they did. They did car songs. Springsteen did Born to Run and Thunder Road, and the Beach Boys did Little Deuce Coupe and Little Old Lady from Pasadena. That's Chuck Berry identified this thing that was specific to America and made it a part of rock and roll. Kids get in cars and search out whatever's out there.
So what does it say that kids these days, to generalize, don't care as much about cars? They'd rather have their cell phone than a car. And a lot of them say they won't own cars.
Mm-hmm. You don't discover America in the same way.
No.
I mean, in the 1950s and 1960s, you discovered America. They didn't have cell phones. You got in the car and you went. Mm-hmm. You went.
And I'm sorry, but you hear that song and it makes you want to buy a car and get drive. In the car and drive around.
Yeah.
Do you know how they came to the origins of this song?
I do not.
Chuck Berry apparently patterned it after a song called Ida Red by Bob Willis and his Texas Playboys.
No, country, they were original.
Which I've heard,
country.
And it doesn't sound anything like Maybelline. And he brings it into Chess Records, and the head
Leonard
guy,
Chess.
Leonard Chess, hears it, and he's like, well, let's change it up. Let's bring some maracas in, a bass line. And then he's like, oh, it was either going to be Ida Red or Ida May. And he goes, no, that's no good. Looks on the floor, sees some mascara, and he goes, you know what? Let's just call it Maybelline.
That's fantastic.
We'll change it so we don't have copyright infringements. And there you go. There's the
wonderful.
Song.
It's wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. We had trivia last night at Chad's. every Monday night, 7:30. I don't know who won. I don't know how many people played. I hope it was a good crowd. But Michael has some of the trivia questions. And this is David's Waterloo. This is where David gets tremendously embarrassed. Don't check your phone.
He did well.
He was really good last week.
He did well.
David has his phone out.
Yes.
David has his phone out.
Nigel chooses not to play. He doesn't even answer some of the questions.
All right, go ahead.
So actually, last night at Chad's, with the new construction, apparently the number of tables available for trivia was way down. So we have to remedy that going forward.
I don't know how we do that unless we put them at the left end of the bar.
I think we can do it with a speaker system, just trying to relay some of the sound.
Okay.
But we'll start. Okay. We'll start with an easy one for Nigel.
Yeah, people are going to get mad at me because I'm building the podcast studio in an area where people use
because the visitation girls.
Yeah, we're taking away the available space for customers. I'm actually hurting the restaurant in the short term, but I'm going to help it in the long term because we're going to get a lot of podcast people. And then people will come in to watch podcasts being made because this is entertainment. If somebody out there is listening and wants to do a podcast and says, no, I want to do it in private, don't come anywhere near me.
Right.
Because this is a public forum. You're supposed, I'm sorry, you're a show monkey.
Yeah, it's the
what we are.
The podcast is it.
Go ahead.
I wonder if what Dan Coca will say when he hears that nice little tease show for monkey. His podcast that's coming out.
Well,
he's going to
be in the public eye for that and happy to be so. So,
what was the name of the debut studio album of the Beatles?
I should know this. I don't know it. You know this, don't you?
I would have said Meet the Beatles.
Meet the Beatles.
Which was their first album was on VJ Records.
Yes.
And that's probably it. And I don't know the name of the first one, but I bet it's the only one on VJ or else it has to be Meet the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Meet the Beatles as well.
What's Tori say?
I have no clue.
Okay.
Please me.
That is that the VJ album?
I guess it is. Okay. I guess it is. I know that was
the album that Boys is on when Ringo sings Boys?
Yeah, probably. And that's the first number one they had. So
that was the easy one? The Brit and
I
the music
I thought it was
guy
the easy one.
Yeah.
Failed.
In Greek mythology, which prince set out in the Argo on a voyage to find the Golden Fleece?
Jason.
Ben Affleck.
Jason.
Argo. Jason.
I would have said Michael Jackson's son, Prince. Or Prince Fielder. I might have gone Prince Fielder before he became a vegan. I would have gone Prince Fielder in that.
It's Jason
and the Argonauts.
Yes.
In the Mario universe, Princess Peach is the princess of which fictional kingdom?
Don't care?
Should we just move forward?
Do you know? I
never liked that video game.
I don't do video games, so I don't know what it is.
David? Ask the question again. I'm sorry.
In the Mario universe, Princess Peach is the princess of which fictional kingdom?
Gabookistan.
Alderaan.
All good guesses.
Georgia. Because it's Peach.
Getting closer, actually. Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah. Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, which is just to the left of Georgia, I think. Yes.
Failing. We're failing. Sad. Hashtag sad.
What nationality was Christopher Columbus?
He was Italian.
Was he Portuguese?
No, he's Italian. No, he's Italian. He sailed from Portugal, but he's Italian.
Italian.
Yeah. There you got that. Do you know that one?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody knew that.
Following the Indian Removal Act of 1830 and the subsequent Trail of Tears relocations, the Cherokee tribe was forced to relocate to which present-day U.S. state?
I'm going to say Oklahoma. I'm going to take a shot at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
That's 100%.
I would go with Oklahoma as well.
That is correct. I think Spike Braun would have also accepted Choklahoma.
Right. I think he would have done. I had that. I knew Oklahoma.
Spike Braun doing very well in the brackets.
Cherokee
by the way.
Nation, Cherokee Tribe. That was Paul Revere and the Raiders. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was completed first, the Hoover Dam or the Golden State Bridge?
You mean the Golden Gate Bridge?
Golden Gate Bridge.
I'm going bridge.
I think it's close. I think it's the bridge.
Bridge was completed in 1997, so... I'm going to say Hoover Dam.
I'm going to say Hoover Dam as well.
Hoover Dam.
Wow. Okay.
36 versus 37.
I'm going to say Hoover Dam as well.
Wow. Yeah. Close.
Yeah. Yeah,
because Hoover Dam would have been a nationwide project that would have probably had federal money to it. And I don't know that a bridge in one state would have had federal money. But I'm making that up.
I was going to say that had nothing to do with your guess.
No, but I'm making that up.
Which typographical character is formally called a Pilcrow?
Which typographical character?
Typographical Pilcrow. Character.
Pilcrow.
I've never heard the word
Could we get a spelling,
Pilcrow.
Please?
This is not the spelling bee.
Could you use that in a sentence, please?
What's
I do not
the
know its origin.
Let me just twitch
What's
a little
the derivation?
Bit.
Pilcrow. What typographical character?
Yes.
The ampersand. No.
The parenthesis.
The at sign.
Bracket.
Bracket's a good guess. The paragraph sign. Wow. The new paragraph symbol. I thought the writers would get that.
No.
When my students used to call the reverse P.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
All right.
On which television network are the shows Pawn Stars, American Pickers, and Ancient Aliens?
Oh,
Discovery?
Yeah, see the Discovery History Channel. One of the two.
Pickers. I've seen that a couple of times.
You've actually watched the show or you've seen it in passing?
No, well, I've seen it A&E, a couple of times.
Is it A&E?
Is it on the Ocho?
I'll say the National Geographic Channel.
History Channel.
Okay. How did you have Pickers go on History Channel? No, I had American Discovery, Pickers. Which is closer than your guesses.
Why was mine so bad?
Theme-wise, mine is closer.
Okay, we organize our channels by theme now. What was the first company in the world to offer stock to its investors?
Wow, I have no idea.
Standard Oil.
Ooh, the Rockefellers. One of the Rockefellers, one of the original sons, died.
Yeah,
David Rockefeller was 101 years old and just died yesterday.
I'm going to say Standard Oil.
Standard Oil, that's a really good guess. I wouldn't have said it was a bank thing. So you may be... Yeah, that's a really good guess, I think.
Is that, or what's the telephone, Bell or something like that?
Bell Telephone?
Yeah, would that be it?
Here's what it wasn't. McDonald's. I'm pretty sure it wasn't McDonald's.
Wasn't Starbucks.
Look a little earlier.
Some railroad.
Ah, Pennsylvania.
You think
railroad?
A railroad?
B&O, Short Line.
Pennsylvania.
Transportation. Reading. I'm thinking earlier, transportation.
I don't know.
Dutch East India Company.
Wow, that is earlier.
That's 1602.
Wow.
That's a lot earlier than I thought.
Wow.
I told you to go earlier.
Yeah. I would never have. Okay.
All right. We have three more questions.
And we're
for
doing
you.
So well.
We're not
I know.
Doing
this. I thought these questions were going to be right up your alley.
Did you know the Dutch East India Company? Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
But I'm trying to. I'm actually choosing the hardest question from each round just to see if we can stump
that's fine.
You guys a little
well, you're doing a good job.
Just crush our morale.
Yeah, making us feel great about ourselves.
Which singer released the international debut album Jagged Little Pill?
Oh, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette, Canadian. She's a Canadian girl, isn't she?
I believe she is. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Which Austrian scientist was famous for his experiments on peas?
It's not Goober.
It's not people.
Goober?
Goober peas, right? Isn't that
you sing it?
Goober
Hans
peas.
Goober?
Peas.
Hans Goober.
Say it again, on peas.
Which Austrian scientist was famous for his experiments on peas?
Oh, God.
Well, he's Austrian.
Right. So he gave you that in the
question.
It could
be Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Arnold
loves to play with peas.
Austrian.
Scientist?
Yes.
Scientist.
Oppenheimer?
Bendel? Something like Mendel. Mendel. Dr. Mendel. M-E-N-D-E-L. Mendel.
The answer is Mendel, but you're just guessing now.
I got it.
Guessing counts.
It doesn't matter if I was guessing because it was gonna come down.
Bendel.
Who's the famous black scientist in America in the late...
George Washington Carver. That's peanuts.
Right. So I knew it wasn't him.
Because no, he wasn't him. Austrian.
Right.
Yes.
So that's how I knew it wasn't him. So then I was trying to think of who this would be.
Yeah, get out of this one.
And I got Mendel. No, but I got it.
You did.
Okay, I
from
got
downtown.
It. Come on, stop. I took that three and I made that.
And we got a really scary look into how your brain works.
Yeah. Well, I knew it couldn't have been him.
It wasn't the black guy because he's not Austrian. That's
right.
Good.
There is
right.
zero chance.
But I knew he did experimenting
that's
with
peanuts. Things. Yes.
Well, it sounds like peas.
I think you were thinking of Mengele.
Greg, now, Mengele is
the
Nazi.
Gregor Mendel, through his work on pea plants, discovered the fundamental laws of inheritance and how not to waste it on restaurants.
Yes. Inheritance. Thank you. I got that
yes,
one.
Yes, you did. Well done.
Yes.
What is the price limit Apple sets on apps available on the App Store?
Don't know.
$99.
Yeah,
a little higher.
I don't know.
How much do apps cost?
$3.99.
$3.99?
No, $300.
What would you pay for an app?
Nothing. It's useless. I don't want to ever touch my phone.
I think there's a dividing line between those who will pay a few dollars for an app and those zero. Who only use free apps.
Zero would be the correct answer for me. How much is it?
The price limit, $999.99.
What sells for that? The Maybach?
I doubt there's anything that is close to that. It's probably just a placeholder for
that. That's really
tech.
A lot of money.
Okay, but okay. I won that one because I was closer without going over.
Yes.
$399.
Except this isn't the price is right. Except it isn't.
Yes.
What else?
That's it.
That's it?
Wow.
I mean, I can pull through and bring you another question.
No.
That was bad. Nobody really distinguished themselves. Today.
I thought I did.
I thought Gregor Mendel
I thought I did.
Was outstanding.
Okay. Not everybody had that.
Okay, you had one.
And by not everybody, I mean nobody had that. And I had that.
It's tough because some of the other questions would be easy for you. You know, at 511 wins, which
Cy Young.
Exactly.
Cy Denton Young.
Yes.
Playing the majority of his career for the Boston Celtics, who holds the record for most NBA games played?
Havlicek. Was it Bill Russell?
Bill Russell played all of his games for the Celtics.
Majority of his career for the Celtics.
Yeah, majority of his career.
Bill Russell played all. Oh, no, did he play for the Seattle Supersonics as a player coach at one point?
End, did he play for the Celtics? He didn't play for Seattle, did he?
I don't know. I thought he was a player coach with the Celtics.
It can't be Larry Bird.
No, because he played his whole career with the Celtics.
Cousy? Wow. Cousy? Sharman? One of those guys?
Not Sam Jones, right?
I wouldn't think.
Eric Montross?
That's why. But Havlicek played them all.
Havlicek played all his games for the Celtics.
Not so
right?
easy after all, Michael.
Well, this is why it's hard to choose these questions.
Robert Parrish.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Chief. That was the next name.
No, sure. Okay. That's right, because he came over in a trade.
Golden State. Yeah, that's right.
Hmm.
Okay. Who did Mendel. Win last night?
Mendel.
We have that in the mailbag.
Got it.
Take a break when we'll come back with actually the mailbag. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Please come inside. A warm welcome for all. Except for you, Raju. Your picture is on the wall. Take a table near the front, and you can watch an old man die if you're here. Before 9, a bottle of blue, cheese you don't recognize, complimented by bowling alley fries. You'll eat what Tony says you want, because it's Tony's Restaurant.
This is Jerry Negrelli, the Godfather, who writes, Billy Joel is my favorite artist and always a joy to parody, so this seemed like an easy fit. Tony has always made jokes if he opened a restaurant with Elizabeth, they would serve whatever Tony thought they should, not what customers wanted, which is the way it ought to be, but I have partners, so we don't do that. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports for coming on with us. Also want to thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek, Indochino Suits, and Casper Mattresses. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Rocky Rakovic has fantastic names, as he always does for brackets. University of Florida Man, 50 Shades of Grayson Allen, I Can't Find Georgetown, Bowling Alley Thighs, Wilbon Drop the Gun, Take the Chili, At Failing Brackets, Sad, Fat Babies, that's very funny. Guess I didn't have that. Okay, now this is the bracket read. The Old Zags and Sheep, and 9/8 on a Thursday, among many others that are always brilliant.
Thank you, Rocky.
Happy to have those. From Kevin in Springfield, Illinois, the person whom I'm related to by marriage took our son's car to have some work done. I went to pick it up wearing my TK shirt, and the total was less than originally quoted. When I looked at the bill, there was a $25 discount with simply La Cheesery in the description.
Nice.
Littles are everywhere.
That's this never happens for me.
Great.
From Dennis Ryan in Traverse City, Michigan. Hey, Chuck Todd. So how has picking against the Big Ten worked out so far? Eat it, newsboy. Let me know how it tastes. I'll hang up and listen. Steve Clemenson in Edgewater, Maryland. I found a glove. It was old, orange, wrinkled. Most of its fur is missing. I noticed that when I found it, only the middle finger was extended. Could this be yours? From Bobby Gottfried, thought, I made my triumphant return to Trivia Night at Chad's. I'm ashamed to say I'm no longer undefeated, but if we were going to be bested, I'm proud to say it was by a fellow team of Littles that included Neil and Rockville and Claire Natola. So congratulations to them. For our team name this week, we decided to honor Chuck Berry. We wanted a name you'd be proud of, so we picked the obvious Chuck Berry song one thinks of when picturing the rock and roll Mount Rushmore. Team My Ding-a-ling, we knew you'd approve. Love Bobby Gottfried.
Yes.
Love him. Hope he wins next week.
He's also going to the Masters.
Oh, that's good. Well, yeah.
Practice round.
He's going with Tori's husband.
Yeah.
From Matt Zoller in Richmond. Back in high school in the late 60s, we were assigned a research paper on any novelist who was also a newspaper writer. Most chose Hemingway, some Stephen Crane. I just read Breslin's A Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight, a comic response to Mario Puzo's The Godfather. My old man gave me a collection of his smart-ass columns. I was hooked. As was I. Ken Klein, longtime listener. Like you, I grew up in New York reading Jimmy Breslin. He was the best. I never missed his column. One story you might like. After growing up in Queens, I went to law school and became a prosecutor in the Manhattan DA's office. I worked in the Homicide Bureau, tried a number of newsworthy murder cases. A few years after I left the district attorney's office, while in private practice in California, I was going through the telephone messages I'd received while in court, and one just said, "Mr. Breslin wants to talk to you about one of your cases," with a New York phone number. I usually would never call back someone I didn't know to talk to them about an old case, especially not a reporter. But for some reason, I wondered, could this be Jimmy Breslin? So against my better judgment, I called the number. A man answered. I told him who I was, and it was obvious after just a few seconds this was indeed the great man. Gruff voice, very streetwise, got right to the point and talked as if we knew each other for years. Funny thing is, I did feel as if we knew each other for years. I really had to resist asking him how Marvin the Torch was doing. That's one of Jimmy's characters, who used to light fire to things, Marvin the Torch. I've had a lot of thrills in my life, but for a kid from Queens, it doesn't get any better than getting a call from Breslin asking you to help him. Again, if Breslin called his friends, you got on the phone, you said hello, you go, "What's doing?" And you were expected to fill in everything that happened. Andrew Voglin, Spokane, Washington. So Liz is 18th in the Kornheiser Conference. Georgetown guy, they're used to that. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. The fact that Phil's mom's pick to win is still alive while Jean's is not might just be the ultimate Edith McManus moment. And it's true, she had
Villanova.
She had Villanova, right?
Yeah, a lot of us did.
Jordan Casey and Maseru in Lesotho, which is a Pinham situation.
Pinham.
Did we miss something? Wilbon said not to knock on his door during the Wisconsin game. Does this mean we can come over at any other time? Sounds great, Wilbon. Be over once football season starts. This is a long one. Can I read a long one?
Yes, of course.
This is from Ryan Pringer in Asheville, North Carolina. This is about his dad. My father passed away suddenly last Sunday, and I spent the last week in Baltimore, Maryland, grieving and celebrating my father's life with my mom, my brother, and other family and friends. My dad was a Maryland Bay pilot for over 30 years, helping cargo ships from all over their world navigate the Chesapeake Bay. He was a reader, a practicing Buddhist, and spent most of the years I knew him bending over backwards to make sure my brother and I got a great education and gave us every opportunity that any son could ask for. I'm writing to thank you and everybody on the show for being a much-needed distraction during what was probably the hardest week I've ever had to live through. After the rest of the family went to bed each night, I was able to sit and look through some of my father's belongings and listen to the podcast posted that morning. You all lifted my spirits and helped me reminisce about the good times I got to share with my dad, both growing up as a kid and the time I spent with him as an almost man. I'm a 32-year-old borderline millennial little. I'll very much miss our Wednesday morning chat, sometimes over 2 hours long, where we would discuss everything from baseball, books, politics, Star Wars, and other movies, and anything else going on in our lives. I only recently got him into the pod, and just a few weeks ago he told me he liked it and was on to the fact that one of the central reasons I thought he would like it was to be able to indirectly have another one percenter to relate to. He became a big fan after learning about your battle with the gas company. He once had issues with how one unnamed hardware store was displaying their prices and switched to a competitor to save less than pennies on the dollar. It was, he said, the principle of the thing. I'll miss my dad very much. He was my best friend. I know things will feel better over time. But once again, I want to thank everyone involved there at the undisclosed location for being a bright spot during a tough time. It's very, very nice.
Very sweet.
We get these more than you would think. I don't read them all, but we get them more than you would think, and it's very, very gratifying, and it speaks to the notion that we talk about all the time here, which is the community of Littles. So if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
May the Lord have mercy on me.
Finish strong.
And my piano.
Everybody here knows you're crazy. You've been bouncing like a bird on a limb since the minute they let you in. You're neither stone, neither daisy. It's a metaphor you've heard before, but the definition gets hazy. Everybody here living like no tomorrow. Too groovy like a driving movie when I let the music soothe me. For jubilation and for sorrow, it's an avenue you must pursue, even if you have to beg and borrow. Oh. Places, people, gotta get this started. Do it right now in a little bit, but not after you departed. Places, people, gotta get this right. Do it right now in a little bit. Haven't got all night. Yeah. Everybody there thinks you're lazy. Got a quiz on the state of the biz at your parents' holiday party. I hope that bird is mighty tasty. Ricky put on the lampshade and your daddy on the couch cold wasted. Don't ever let it get you down. You can make a getaway plan to get yourself downtown. And then with all your friends around, this is now the place to be, and everybody's getting down. Started. Do it right now in a little bit, but not after you departed. Places, people, gotta get this right. Do it right now in a little bit, but I haven't got all night. Night, all night,
stand, so go handle your business. like a wall today. I kinda wish that it would shake away. And I can blame a lack of open space, but won't take one single thing away. Shift the blame. A fragile structure I